The composer was a mastermind. So they said, no, we can't use that because you've used it in context like the master bedroom. So what about the master's tournament? So do all these people that play golf and tennis, are they bigots and racists now? I can't use the word master. He says, the definition of the word master is not something new that came from America and slavery in the 1800s. It is an old English root word rooted in the Latin, it says magistrate, which means a chief, a director, a teacher, or a boss. It talks about someone who has a master's degree. I know there's some people here who you have a master's degree. They're going to have to change the name of it because now it's considered bigoted. I don't know what they're going to change your master's degree to, but they're going to have to change it, suppose according to Twitter and all these other, you know, politically correct people. Is this gotten just crazy or is it just me? Can someone say amen? I love this one. The Masters Tournament evokes images of bigotry. No. It evokes images of golfing legends like Tiger Woods, who won the title 4 times. Are you going to take away his Masters Cup green jacket? I don't think so. He says, this one really bothers me. He says, I'm really offended about the Postmaster General. You postal workers here, I just want you to know that you're going to have to change the name of the Postmaster. I did a research in my Bible. Just a quick one. I thought, this is just, you know, these are the kind of things that when I'm studying just gets me ramped up. Do you know how many times the word master is used just in the Gospels alone? Run a concordance. In the King James, it's used 68 times. 68 times it's the word master is used. Do we go through our Bible now and rip all those out? Is Jesus your master or not? I don't think of that as a bigoted statement when I say Jesus is my master and my Lord. But all of a sudden you can't even use any word like that because all of a sudden it has racial connotations. It's gone too far. I have so much more I could say. George Orwell said this, if thoughts can corrupt language, then language can also corrupt our thoughts. And that's what's happening. The language police have stepped in and taken over. Colossians 3, and this is really what I was preaching about the last couple of weeks, says words like Jewish and not, this is Colossians 3:11 in the message, words like Jewish and non-Jewish, religious and irreligious, insider and outsider, uncivilized and uncouth, slave and free, or we could say slave and master, actually he says they mean nothing. From now on, everyone is defined by Christ and everyone is included in Christ. We're all defined by Christ. I'm not going to let someone else define me. I'm not going to let them take their words and those words define me. There's so many scriptures in Proverbs. It's filled with words and the warning about words, how we use them, how they are life and death, blessing or cursing. James talks about sweet water or bitter words. Our tongue can be set on fire. There's whole messages here that we could get into. But all of it boils down to this. In Proverbs 8, he says this, every word that I speak is honest and true, and for all my words, they are righteous before God. Not one word will be corrupt, false, twisted, crooked, or deceptive. Nothing contrary to the truth in any of them. And I love what Acts 13 says. Paul shows up in a synagogue, and the leaders say to Paul and Barnabas, brothers, if you have any words of encouragement for the people, did you catch that? Words of encouragement. He says, feel free to speak. Father, I just thank you that we can feel free to speak.